It is the new podcast, the newest podcast on the Multimedia Men Network called The Unbalanced Note. This is episode number 3, and holy fucking Moses, we have a good show for you for our 3rd strikeout in a row. The drugs have taken effect fully right now. We have our bellies full, our minds are not clear. And I am Brian Kluger, and I am here with the omnipresent, the fantastic co-host with the most, Jacob Douglas. How are you today, my dear, dear friend?
I'm good, man. Always, this feels like I'm getting ready to take the test every time you hit the start button.
So, do you feel like you're strapped in with electrodes right now, ready to hear, like...
Yeah, there's some mind control going on. My mind is not clear.
None of our minds are clear.
I'm frightened, actually, to be honest with you.
That's a good thing, right?
It's great. It's fantastic, actually.
It is. Again, this is The Unbalanced Note, the new music show on the Multimedia Men podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, hopefully soon to be Spotify. We have a lot of
news.
Boo! No, we like Spotify.
Like Spotify.
Why don't you like Spotify?
I don't get it.
What is there not to get?
I don't know. It's just too much. It's too much convenience. Music shouldn't be that. You should have to go out and seek it.
Okay. Well,
it's weird to me, Spotify. It seems backwards. It's like Walmart. They're like the Walmart of
music?
Yeah, kind of, if you think about it. They're giving it away.
You pay for Spotify.
Yeah, but do you really pay for it? How many people share accounts, right? It's like Netflix.
You're still paying money for it.
Yeah, but you're not paying enough, though.
Holy God. So how much do you think it should be? It's $10 a month.
I don't think you should be able to stream endlessly like that. I think you should pay based on what you stream.
So
a flat rate for unlimited streaming, right?
A tiered thing? If you do
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, maybe a tiered thing, but you have to actually I don't really know what I'm trying to say. I mean, I do know, but I'm a little, I'm on a different level than you right now.
You are
saying you need to catch up to me, and now I'm spaced out,
Well, I'm trying to figure out, you said that people need to pay more for something streaming services.
Think of it this way, right?
How much more? There's $10 a month
you
now.
If you want to listen to let's use someone who just gets streamed the shit out of, right? Post Malone, right?
Okay.
Okay. If you want to listen to whatever stupid song he has, every time you stream it, it should cost you 30 cents every time you want to listen to it, right? Instead of over and over, you get to hear it as many times as you want for a flat fee. If you play it that way, because you could pay the artist. Instead of just when their song gets played on the radio, there's ASCAP fees and there's all this stuff that goes on, right? Spotify sidestepped all that. They're kind of borderline illegal business practicing almost, because they're fucking the artists over on a platform where they're generating all the profit off of someone else's hard work. Spotify didn't fuck. They're like Yelp, dude. Where the fuck did Yelp come from? Just came out one day, and then everybody started saying, I better read the internet and see what some stranger thinks about some restaurant that I haven't been to yet. It's crazy. Who the fuck does that? It's crazy. That's out of control.
So you think that Spotify should have just a tally on what you listen to, and based on what you listen to, some
charge
people
could
have
for
$300 a month. That's crazy.
No, it's not crazy. Because if you want it, or you go buy the record or buy the CD, get something physical for your money instead of I'm going to download all this stuff onto this phone that's going to crash and then I got to do it all over again. People should invest their money. You're not investing anything in a fucking MP3, dude.
I completely agree. You know me, I'm analog. You've seen tons of physical copies of media here. But I still own MP3s because I like to listen to them in my car.
You're right. I've never seen so many Justin Bieber picture discs in one spot in my entire life.
They're going to be worth millions someday. What are you talking about?
They're autographed, too. It's how many times have you met this guy?
A few.
Is that a Harvey Weinstein? A few?
Yeah, a few times.
Okay.
He makes you famous.
So 30.
30. Okay. Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay, so, I get the whole point. It would be crazy to pay as you listen because
no,
it would be insanely expensive.
Pay per view, right?
Pay-per-view. Okay, pay-per-view, correct.
Okay, there you go. Pay to listen. I mean, or go buy the fucking thing. Like,
but you're doing that. You're paying to listen. You're paying $2 a month to listen to.
If Spotify did something like that, right, where like you either every time you want to listen to the song, it charges you 10 cents, or you can buy the whole album one time, and they should charge the same amount for everything, right? Everything is 20 bucks. That way, there's art like we talked about last week, right? Like you see people like tweet photos of their fucking Spotify check that they got, right? And it's like,
right,
that song only got $86. You know what I mean? In like a month, it's like something is skewed. You know what I mean? Like it's not right. But there's a lot of ins and outs of that shit that I don't really care to know about. But it seems like a very flawed, kind of crooked system where people that aren't producing a product or making piggybacking off of people that have created art. You know what I mean? It'd be like a fucking, like Andy Warhol getting an art gallery, selling his shit there, and the art gallery keeping all the money.
But
because they're providing the fucking...
But that happens a lot. A lot of art galleries are like 70-30. 30% for the artist, 70% for the gallery. No, scratch that. It's usually 50-50.
Exactly, 50-50.
But when I had the comic book store, we did 70-30 where the artist kept 70 and we kept 30.
Yeah, and that's also fair. But I guarantee you if you broke that number, like if you try to put the numerical form onto the Spotify thing we're talking about, guarantee you it's like 95% Spotify, 5% artist. Because if you look, like go look at fucking, see what people get paid, right? Like let's just use Dave Grohl, right? Look up Dave Foo Fighters Spotify check or something like that. See if something comes up. Because if an art, I guarantee you, the check he gets from Spotify can't be in the fucking $1,000 realm.
I'm looking right now, and it looks like Spotify has 170 million users with 75 million.
How many?
75 million of those are paying.
Paying Russian bots.
75 million are paying customers, which it's 10 bucks, right? 10 bucks a month, I would imagine. So 10 bucks times 75 million is how much? That's a lot of money.
I'm too high to figure that out.
750 but it's
just,
million? Yeah,
just move the, add some zeros. That's it.
So as of 2016, Spotify raised $1 billion in financing to by debt plus a discount of 20% on shares. But.
Okay, wait a minute. So Spotify was $1 billion into debt on something that they don't even have a product for. So they used other people's art and got into $1 billion in debt. Like, how the fuck do you do that?
No, I don't know.
That doesn't seem backwards to you. No. I could do that. Does that mean I'm successful?
Well, I'm looking at, trying to read what their thing is, like Spotify for artists, and it's
bullshit, dude. It's like when Facebook came out recently, it was like, we're doing everything we can to protect you. It's like, really? You want to protect yourself, get off of the fucking website.
Yeah, it's like,
you're on the internet,
but
dude.
Spotify, again, has 75 million people, and if you're an artist, you want 75 million people to listen to your record because they a lot of those people would go out and actually buy the physical copy. A lot of those people will go see you in concert, buy your merch. That's a way to... I mean, if you're not...
Turn that goddamn phone off.
No, that's the email, and I don't know if that's coming through.
Yeah, we're getting questions. All right.
We're getting questions. So...
I see both sides of it, right? Like, yeah, right. As a musician, you do want to like play and like get the largest audience that you can, but you also want like substance within probably that fan base, right? Like, there's a lot of people in the world, you know what
right.
I mean? And there's like a lot of really smart people, and there's a ton of idiots, right?
Correct. I'm all about physical media. I'm all about analog stuff. However, with cars nowadays, it's hard to find a car even with a CD player or a cassette tape player. You have an MP3 player. That's why I still have my old school iTunes or my iPod, like an old school iPod that you cannot buy anymore.
So don't you, but you don't feel that like that's almost a force? Like someone is like saying, you know what? Just because you like this thing that we're going to deem now as outdated, you have to do things this way.
It's pushing the bounds forward. Dude. And I get that. And like, I still have CDs in my car, be it Michael Jackson or Insane Clown Posse. However, it's nice to have an iPod where you can have literally
1,000 CDs in one little thing and not have them all packed in your car. It's like one of those Case Logic books.
And this is a great time of year to leave CDs in your car in Texas too, right? Because you're like, oh man, this CD became a bowl.
Yeah.
But do you need all that shit? Like, you really need an iPad or iPod? Like, when you go outside? Like, when did it... Like, music was, like, always the thing that was... I don't know. It was, like, the personal level of it has kind of gotten out of hand. You know what I mean? Like, it's not very intimate anymore. It's very, like, bastardized, and especially, like, popular music, right?
Right.
There's no substance to it. You know, it's it's like Muzak, yes. Right? Like, you're in the fucking elevator, and you're like, I don't know what I'm listening to, but...
I agree.
There it is. You know, it's happening.
No, I agree. You know what? I bring my iPod with me in the car, and I just plug it in to listen to it wherever I'm going. Other than that, I try to remember the last time I actually bought an iPod, even like when I used to work out at a gym, I might have brought my iPod to listen to. But other than that, I don't go outside or do shit with my iPod. I like just take in the nature sounds or whatever.
Yeah, some people take in the nature sounds on their iPod.
Which is super weird right? to me. Like,
but it happens. Like, yes, it does. I bet more people do that than just go outside and hear nature or like correct. Go for a fucking yeah. walk with nothing in their ears or staring at their phone catching Pokemon. Like, do right. people still do that?
It might have come back. I mean, that's a whole nother subject, too.
But, it's not. It's the same thing because...
At least... The Pokemon got people actually outside and doing shit.
Yeah, but they were also getting hit by cars, right? And, like, getting mugged.
Darwin, at its finest right there.
Well, no.
No. I got hit by a car.
It didn't last long enough. Because then those people...
It was a fad.
Yeah, but then they got hit by the car and sued and probably won.
It's ridiculous.
Right? This game made me do it.
I agree. I'm with you. Let's move into some news. But before we get to the news... We're going to say that our main event today is the Amazing Balls Women Fighting Drunk Band, AC/DC.
And guns.
And we'll be getting to our fantastic sexual one-hit wonder later. But first news.
That's like the tease right there,
that is
man.
What could that be? I'll give you a few minutes to listen on that. A sexual song, one hit wonder. I'm sure you could think of it. But first, Jacob will like this. Iron and Wine announces new EP, Weed Garden.
I love Iron and Wine. That guy's great. I can't remember his actual real name, but just one guy. Like it's like his moniker.
Sam Beam?
Yeah, Sam Beam. Yeah, that's him. He's a really fucking good songwriter. I'm a fan of him.
Okay.
Have you heard him? Have you ever heard him before?
Well, like Iron and Wine stuff, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's that cool kind of like folky, like...
Right.
He's cool, man. I like him.
So what do you think of the title, Weed Garden?
Oh, man. Everybody's weed now. I mean, it's it's like they, you know, like legal weed now, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like not fun anymore. You know, it's like, well, kind of took the rebellion like side out of it, right? Like going to some dude you don't know and... You know, buying it that way. Like now you go to, you know, Walmart will be selling it soon enough. It's cool, but it's, you know, I'm very pro marijuana, but I don't think I'd ever have a Weed Garden title of a record, you know?
Well, correct. I mean,
but he's, you know, well, what was the question actually?
Do you like the name Weed Garden?
I love it. Are you kidding?
So that's the album name. It's the EP. It's six songs. I guess the first track that you can actually listen to now online is called Waves of Galveston, which if you are native to Texas...
Shit waves.
Shit waves.
Right? It's like Jim Leahy.
Yes. Weed Garden will be available August 31st via Sub Pop, and Iron and Wine will tour through the fall.
Yeah, I saw him the last time he came to Dallas. He was at the Kessler.
Yes.
He's fantastic.
So he must have played his last year's album, Beasts Epic.
Yeah, Beast Epic.
Okay, Beast Epic. Do you like that?
Yeah, he's got a lot of albums, man. I bet he's got probably 10 albums is my guess.
You think so?
Yeah, because he started out, he was just kind of him and an acoustic guitar, like not a lot of other instruments going on. And then as he's moved forward, he's got like a full band here and there.
He's 43 years old.
Oh, well, how many records though? I mean, that was... Wait.
He's 43 and he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well,
10. 9 with... Yes.
I'm close. I win the prize, dude.
The first one, The Creek Drink the Cradle.
That is the best one. That's his best album.
Which never got anywhere on the charts. The one that really got on the charts, high-end charts, 2011 Kiss Each Other Clean, which was number two on the U.S. chart position.
He's good, man. He's kind of like a Dylan type, you know.
Yeah.
Folky guy.
For sure. So, yeah, he's had a few EPs as well, but the latest one is Weed Garden.
Weed Garden.
But his last EPs have only been iTunes exclusive only, which was live at Lollapalooza in 2006 or his live sessions.
He played at Lollapalooza?
Yes.
Oh, I guess they 2006. Do. It is kind of like fucking ACL now where you can go see like, you know, fucking Gwar and then like Phyllis Diller is there or something. Like they got everything.
Right.
It's not, Lollapalooza is not the freak show it used to be, you know? Like it was almost like Burning Man or, you know, like you were saying earlier, like your friends that went to California and had a fucking 3-day banger of fucking ecstasy, Molly, and like,
yes, coke, right? Yeah.
Like, Lollapalooza used to be that. Now it's like trying to save plastic bottles and, you know, take like Instagram photos and stuff, right?
Yeah. That's probably what it is.
Lost its fucking mojo, man.
So do you think, question about Iron Wine, do you think Iron Wine will ever cover Spill the Wine?
That guy ain't going to cover songs. He writes too many good ones. He's too good of a songwriter to do covers, probably. Although he did do a covers album, I think, a year or two ago with this girl named Jessica Hoop or Jessica.
Yes, yes.
You're which right. I think that's all covers. I could be wrong, but use the interweb, dude.
The Jessica Hoop.
Jessica. I think it's no Jessica. Who knows?
Jessica Hoop. That is associated act. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you're right.
I think it's cover. I think it's a covers album.
So yeah.
Dude, this tea is really fucking good. Maple and Motor is where it's at, man.
Dude, Maple and Motor still has the best burger in Dallas, by the way.
I don't know about that.
It still is. No. I agree.
You agree that...
With myself, that it's the best burger. I'm trying to throw you off.
You're not here. Going to, man. I mean, it wouldn't take much now, but...
All right, all right.
I'm keeping it together.
Still, you are.
Quit fucking with me.
Okay. I'll try not to. Another bit of news, which will satisfy Jacob. Yoko Ono announces new album called Warzone.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
So, 13 reimagined tracks from across Ono's catalog, including version of John Lennon's Imagine, are included here. If you've heard anything Yoko Ono has released in the past 10 years, you would know that she just screams into a microphone with, like, static, basically. It's very unfortunate. I have definitely heard some of her albums. I don't get it. I don't know who actually buys her albums.
You know, the thing that bothers me the most about the whole Beatles and Yoko Ono, John Lennon assassination, why didn't the guy shoot Yoko? Right? Like, think about it, right? Say that, what was that fucking dude's name that killed Lennon? I never even care to ever remember it. Like, what an idiot. But, like, imagine this. Like, what if that guy would have blasted Ono? Yoko, right?
Right.
And then somehow that would have got the Beatles back together, like, and saved humanity.
Yeah.
Right? Instead, we get fucking Yoko making goddamn
horrible
bird noises.
And you're thinking of Mark Chapman.
Whatever. Yeah, Mark Chapman.
Fuck who me. Was a fan, supposedly.
Well, he should have been a fan of Yoko.
Yes, he should have. I agree.
Yoko Ono is the... I mean... I always think that, like, the Beatles... No one knew... They didn't know how to handle something like that. You know what I mean? Like, that level of stardom so quick, moving them from point A to point B, logistics of, like, getting them in and out of buildings. The amount of women that they came into contact with that were, like, probably usually constantly like tens, you know what I mean?
Right.
And fucking Yoko Ono, dude. Like, how did that happen?
Maybe
you shouldn't do drugs, right? Like, Yoko Ono is like what drugs would do to you.
I think John Lennon was on a level.
He'd had it.
None of anybody else was, and he was interested in something particular. Which was Yoko.
An elderly Asian woman. She's always been old. Do you ever notice that? Like, she's always looked like, even when she's like young, like quote unquote young.
When they
young.
Took the pictures in the hotel. Yeah, with the white,
like,
linens,
who, why is this homeless Asian lady in bed with John Lennon? Talk to, like, I don't get it, dude. Like.
So this new album is called Warzone. It's out on October 19th.
Of course it's called Warzone.
And it's... like I said, the project brings together 13 reimagined tracks from Ono's catalog. So it's like not new music, really.
Well, I mean, who would want to...
And it ranges from all her songs from 1970 to 2009. And she said, I like to create things in a new way. Every day things change. That's basically is what she said. And...
Why are we talking about this again?
Because she's still making albums, but I don't understand because who buys these albums?
I can the same people that like probably think the Velvet Underground is an incredible band. You know, like because it's art.
Yeah,
like I can't do it, dude. I mean, Yoko is like the
last song on this new album is Imagine, of course, which is John Lennon's song. But I mean, I don't know when she's gonna hang it up. Like, it's really weird.
And she's going to outlive us, dude.
She is. The good die young, the pricks live forever.
I wouldn't really say, you know, she's like a prick, but it's like, I mean, the Beatles were probably going to break up anyway.
Right.
But she didn't do anything to help.
Yeah, you would think that somebody would like, y'all guys, stick together for a little bit.
Why didn't you do an Asian accent just then?
Should I?
That's up to you. I wouldn't do it. Hey, tune out if you might be offended. Because they're going to boot.
My Asian accent is really horrible.
Man, see, I've railed on Spotify already, and now you're doing this. They're not going to put us on there. We're not going to get our 10 cents a month check now.
Unfortunately. All right, we're moving on.
Oh, you got scared, huh, didn't you?
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, fruck.
What the fuck is a frog?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Nerds, dude.
The nerds.
And that's not the sexual song we're going to be doing. It's not Are You Ready for the Sex Girls, which is
That'll be like for a good anniversary episode for
you
us.
Know what? That song is a banger.
All right. R. Kelly addresses. Ooh, R. Kelly.
Here we go.
Addresses sex cult allegations. Spotify policy in a new 19-minute song. R. Kelly has made a 20-minute new song where he addresses sex cults and allegations against his sexual stuff and the Spotify policy, which R. Kelly is still making news. I don't get it.
That's not, I mean, think of it this way, right? If you have a 20-minute song trying to, I would assume, let's just presume he's trying to say that he's explaining that how
it's
he's
called,
not
it's
about
called
it.
I Admit. And it, it's called I Admit, a 20-minute new song that addresses allegations of abusing women, holding women in a sex cult, and more.
Well, I don't really... Again, when you said how this is news, that's not really news if you think about it, dude. That guy's been a career piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, remember when they made hip-hop safe, like people stopped shooting each other?
Yeah.
This is what you end up with. Right? Someone should have blasted this dude in the head, you know, 15, 20 years ago when he's hooking up with underage chicks, right? And like urinating on him.
Yeah.
Like as if that wasn't bad enough. Then he's like pissing and shitting on him. Like, really?
I'm going to piss on you.
Yeah. And then he has, like, he's still got a career. How?
He does.
How?
Chris Brown still has a career and it's crazy.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how to begin to. R. Kelly is horrible.
So throughout the song, Kelly repeatedly denies all allegations, singing lyrics like, I never said I was perfect. Say I'm abusing these women. What the fuck? That's some absurd shit. They brainwashed? Really? Kidnapped? Really? Can't eat? Really? Real talk? That shit sounds silly.
Wait, wasn't the name of...
that is lyrics in this song.
Didn't you say the name of the song was called I Admit?
Correct.
And then now you're saying...
He says that, yeah.
But look, like... So if you have to have a 20-minute song saying that you didn't do something, you obviously did it. If it's going to take you 20 minutes to say it. Right? Like, if you didn't do something, bam. Like, it should be pretty instantaneous. You shouldn't need a 20-minute... Who... God. 20 minutes of R. Kelly.
Yeah. There's lyrics to this song. And
Don't even read it.
Now Wendy Williams mad with me, but I ain't never offered her no drink. But I'll admit that she asked me, can I get a little Hennessy?
See, thanks, Yoko. This is what we get.
This is what we get.
This is like a direct, I don't even know, man. Where do you even begin with R. Kelly, right? Like Space Jam? Right? Like if R. Kelly had a saving grace, right? What is it? Space Jam.
I believe I could fly.
And that That, like, go back and let's read the lyrics of that song. I bet it's questionable now. We think it's about a basket, like aliens playing basketball, but it's probably not. It's probably about like how to set up a hidden camera.
It's crazy. You can listen to this online right now. It is it's a little over 19 minutes, so 20 minutes.
I bet he gets a big check from Spotify.
Yeah, I bet. But yeah, a lot of people are referencing the song. But give it a listen. R. Kelly is still a thing.
Do not listen to that.
I agree.
God, why would you even bring that up? Something's wrong with you. You're also a Michael Jackson fan. This is all starting to make sense.
Michael Jackson's great. Okay, last week, more news. We talked about David Bowie, a virtual reality exhibition. Exhibit.
I forgot about that.
But now, David Bowie, his estate, will be releasing a 1980s box set announced with unreleased music. Loving the Alien features a previously unreleased live album and a reworked version of Never Let Me Down. What do you think?
I'm not really a fan of 80s Bowie. Like, I love the Ziggy and, like, Aladdin Sane, Diamond Dogs, Hunky Dory, like... I like Mick Ronson. When Bowie got in the 80s, it got a little too artsy and, you know, it wasn't like a rock and roll band anymore at that point. You know, it was very showman and, you know, it was like performance art. You know what I mean? Like those early Bowie albums I love because they're like, kind of sound like Detroit, like rock and roll, you know?
Yeah.
Like had that swagger. But Mick Ronson, you know, that was like the big... What really got me into Bowie was I was like, man, who's this guy playing guitar? Like, these guitar parts are incredible. But Bowie, 80s Bowie stuff to me is, man, I could take it or leave it.
Okay.
But what 80, huh? What year did Let's Dance come out?
I'd have to look. But before I get into that, I got to say that this set's probably going to be like $800 because it's coming October 21st and it's going to be 15 LPs.
Oh, man. Okay, so that's like territory of like that Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction box that just came out that was $1,000.
Yeah.
And it was just all this like gaudy bullshit in it, like a ring and like something you put in your wallet.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck wants all that? But 15 records of... It can't be one show, though. It's got to be records. From a tour.
Well, I'm looking. The set also includes previously unreleased...
What album is that? Is it Station to Station?
I have Station to Station here. I'm trying to look to see where the actual, like, it's called Loving the Alien, the fourth in a series of sets spanning his career from 1969.
Do you think that, like, David Bowie is hanging out, like, on an island with Stanley Kubrick and, like, Elvis right now? Like, do you think that, like, are they really dead? Awesome. You know what I mean?
Okay, so the set will also include Serious Moonlight, Glass Spider, and Recall 4, also soundtracks for Labyrinth, Absolute Beginners, and When the Wind Blows.
Don't know any of, I mean, other than Labyrinth, like, and the Recall stuff is, so that's probably like the fifth box set that's come out since he's died.
Oh, they're like, getting them
done,
all out, yeah.
Yeah, they've done kind of like all the albums like chronologically, right?
Correct.
So they started with like the first Bowie one, where he's kind of like a croony, like, almost yes. like Dean Martin type thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like very bubblegummy and like poppy.
Right.
And I'd rather listen to that than some of that 80s Bowie stuff, like fucking Dancing in the Street, right?
Yeah, 1983 to 1988 stuff.
83 to 88. Okay.
Correct.
I thought you said 1980. Like you did. You said 1980 at the beginning.
So, yeah, let's see, the LP box set, an 88-page hardback book, Let's Dance Remastered,
oh.
Serious Moonlight, previously unreleased, Tonight Remastered, Never Let Me Down Remastered, another Never Let Me Down from 2018, Glass Spider, Live in Montreal 87, Dance, Recall, as well as the other soundtracks.
I'll tell you the best thing Bowie did in the 80s.
What?
He launched a great career. Who plays guitar on Let's Dance?
Let's look.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, him and I think Jackson Browne had like a huge hand in getting Stevie like started in the, you know, music world. Gave him some money and like got him some breaks and like introducing him to some people. But yeah, dude, that's Stevie Ray on Let's Dance, dude. And in the video, like the music video for Let's Dance, it's like Bowie holding the guitar and it makes it look like he's playing that solo, you know, in it. But yeah, dude, that's, you're doubting me? You have to look it up?
No, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, what does it say?
Stevie Ray Vaughan, lead guitar, Nile Rodgers, guitar and horn arrangements. My goodness.
Yeah, man. See, a little random factoid for you there. Impress all your friends.
Interestingly enough, Last Dance was nominated for Album of the Year at the Grammys in 1984, but lost to Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Of course it did.
Last Dance has sold 10.7 million copies worldwide, and it is Bowie's best-selling album.
Yeah, pre-Spotify. People actually had to go outside and interact with another person. Or you could, I guess a lot of people. Do they track, like, people that steal things?
Well, who knows?
Because that's Spotify does, and that's what that is. It's organized crime, dude. It's theft.
I mean, I have a couple of these albums already in this set, but still, with 15 LPs, it's gonna be $4.99.
Dude, you're not gonna listen.
$300-$400.
No one needs that much of that era of Bowie. Like, there's not
Bowie fans and people who not just gonna jumped on the bandwagon since he died.
No, bandwagon away. Fans most certainly aren't gonna buy that. That's too much for them. Like, they just want to say they like Bowie, right? It's like people wearing a Bob Marley shirt, right? Or like Prince. Like, can you name a song other than Purple Rain? No, they can't fucking do it.
Pussy Control, Kiss, Little Red
Corvette. I'm not talking about you, right? Like, just people in general. I'm all of a sudden, right? It's like when restaurants close, right? It was everyone's favorite restaurant, right?
Right.
Well, where the fuck were you at before it closed? Like, it wasn't your favorite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, our next podcast, we need to go out on the streets and ask people, right? Like, are you a Prince fan? And everyone... We won't encounter someone that'll say no, right? Everyone Correct. Will say yes.
Say yes.
And then we'll go, can you name a song other than Purple Rain?
Yeah.
And we'll record every answer we get. And I bet 90% of the people, they only know Purple Rain.
Purple Rain. Yeah, no, which is crazy to me because, like, there's so many movies, like When Doves Cry or...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, everyone that's a Bowie fan, right? Like, they'll know what?
Ziggy. Pimp Circumstance. Pimp and Circumstance. No, I don't know. I get it with David Bowie, you know.
Not in the '80s, man. Got too much, man. Like, I just don't really all that digital drumming and the overprocessed like sound. You know, it's like listening to '80s Genesis, right?
But okay, so Genesis was an excellent band, though.
While Peter Gabriel was in there,
correct. Peter Gabriel was the life force of that band,
right? So that's what I was saying about Bowie, right? As soon as Mick Ronson left Bowie. That edge, like that rock and the thing that I really liked the most about Bowie was that like rock and roll swagger and like that dirty ass, like raunchy band he had behind him.
Correct. But don't you think Bowie just
evolved, dude? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was always going to do
minus
that.
Our main event band didn't evolve, which I applaud them for.
They didn't. Duh.
They didn't. They stayed themselves through the 80s, unlike most people, even Eric Clapton.
Well.
But yeah. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, I'm trying to not talk about them right now. Because I can totally just kill all the momentum for Bowie right now. But I won't.
But we both like Bowie.
Yeah, I just, after a certain point, like I'm like, that's not really for me. You know what I mean? Like, the performance side of like music is not really
music.
I
totally agree.
It's part of it, but it just kind of loses its edge. You know, like I like rock and roll, you know? So like those 80s Bowie albums to me are like
the glitz and glamour.
You hear it at Zippers.
Yeah, it's glitz and glamour. And that's a lot of what it is.
Yeah, it's fucking flamboyant. Like, it's the Village People, dude. It's just like, what's going on? You know, I always thought it was kind of like hokey.
No, it is. It's kitschy. Which I guess there's not anything wrong with that. But when you grow up with a band and you see them going this way and you're like, oh man, it's getting. You know, you're spending more time on the outfits and the stage production rather than the actual...
Yeah, like ZZ Top, right?
Right.
Everybody knows 80s ZZ Top. But yes. Like those first, you know, first four or five ZZ Top albums, killer.
Yeah.
I mean, not even... It doesn't even sound like the same band, right?
Tush. Ding, 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 ding.
What's that song about?
Oh, my goodness. No, I totally agree. I mean... I'm glad they're releasing this, I guess, for fans. It seems...
Overkill,
like,
dude.
Oh, yeah, 100% overkill to like release those, all of this.
The albums in that box aren't that great.
No, I totally
like agree. If so they have like one, they have a couple of boxes now called like 5 years.
And yes.
They're going 5 year periods, right? So one of them has like, you know, Hunky Dory, Aladdin Sane.
Yes.
Low, like those are all, those are worth having in box sets because those are iconic. Like those are, that's Bowie's pinnacle era, you know, right there, like 1971 to like 1978. All those years, all those albums he did, and he did a lot in that period, in that kind of relatively short amount of time. Every album he put out in that decade period were all phenomenal records. And then the 80s, it's kind of like, it'd be like if the Rolling Stones released an 80s box set.
Nobody would fucking buy it.
Some people would, but I mean, I bet if they made any more than like 3,000 of these boxes, these box sets, that's way too many.
No,
I don't see 3,000 people buying this
out of
thing.
The world. Yes.
Worldwide, I bet that's what
and
they would
just
sell.
Look at the, that's a perfect example. Just look at Rolling Stones album covers from the 70s and then look at their album covers from the 80s.
Yeah, dude,
you're going to see like,
if you go from like shooting heroin to wearing like yellow blazers with pink slacks.
Yeah.
And like, you've made a mistake.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like something, I mean, it wasn't the drugs. Like they, we won't get into that.
A lot of people, even a lot of musicians and even filmmakers, when the 80s came around, really got sucked into it. And with the whole culture, the weirdness, and only a few just stuck it out.
Stupidity.
Yes, it's really weird. It's, I don't get it. But yes, David Bowie coming out later this year.
David Bowie came out a long time ago. he came out with Jagger, right?
Yes.
You ever watch that music video in slow motion?
No.
Hang out sometime and do that, dude. Or watch it backwards.
Because I think somebody released that with no music to it, just them talking.
Oh.
Like saying it. Yeah, it's really funny, yes.
Yeah, well, man, what do you... Show that to an alien, right?
Right.
Like, hey, you want to, this is what America's all about. Or no, that's not America.
That's not America. This is just the world.
That's an international problem right
there. It's like, this isn't America.
There's actually nothing American about that at all.
No.
Other than, I guess Stevie Ray is, I think, on that song because that's on Let's Dance, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's him playing guitar. He's part of the problem. Actually, I'm just kidding. It's not a problem with that. Just a hilarious, inadvertently hilarious music video.
Which,
right? So at the time, the people, I bet, when they were making that video, were like, man, this is going to be so groundbreaking. Look at, they're dancing in the street. You know, it's raining.
Yeah.
And then it gets released and it's like, how do you describe that music video to someone who's never maybe seen it before? Like, what would you say happens in that video? Is it raining?
It's basically two guys who are kind of dressed up and like not loving each other per se, but like they.
So you could just say, so it's just two guys having a good time in the street
by themselves,
prancing around.
That word he used, prancing, literally is what they're doing. Yeah. They are prancing around as if their little hands are up like little angel wings.
That's one of the best music videos ever. Like that one and the Journey. You know, the Journey music video where they're on like the dock bay,
yes.
Right? And like the drummer's like playing, his drum kit is like all like buckets.
Yes.
And the camera just pans left the whole time. Like everyone's just walking to the left.
Yep. No, it's so those two videos.
They're great on like multiple levels. Like the song is like kind of cool. Like it's cool, but it's not great. But then you watch the video and it's like, oh my God, this is like next level. It's a comedy. Right,
like, it is. The trifecta to make those two music videos you just said is Billy Joel's Uptown Girl, which is supposed to be a macho guy as a mechanic, but all the mechanics are muscular, greasy, sweaty guys who end up dancing.
Uptown
Girl with a wrench as their microphone.
Yeah, the 80s,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, that is the 80s.
You didn't want to offend anyone. You had to they had to embrace their fan base, dude.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You think the Rolling Stones weren't exactly a rock and roll band still in fucking 1982.
No.
You know what I mean? That was like contemporary soft rock horse shit.
Right.
Like, and everything had chorus pedals on it.
They were, when they first started out, they were blues rock.
Dude, fucking, they were the band. You know what I mean? Like that, those 70s albums with Mick Taylor. Like, yes. They were American rock and roll with not being American. Like, they found the sound that was... That's a whole nother... I could dedicate a whole podcast to that. Stones.
Yeah.
I wonder if that just registered my burp.
I hope so. but yes, David Bowie, we love you. Not the '80s stuff.
Man, yeah, Bowie was incredible, man. Did you ever see him live?
Nope.
I never got to see him either. Is it either? Does it matter?
Either or either.
Again, I feel like I'm taking the test, man. I knew it, dude. I never got out of the red, man. Is there an F plus? Like, do you get an F minus?
69, maybe.
69 is a high C, though, nowadays.
Is it really?
Probably, yeah, dude. Like, 40 is passing now. Like, no kid left behind, right? Like, just move them through.
That means you just don't even go to class. You just kind of show up.
Well, no kid left behind. You're not going to tell an 18-year-old to go to the fucking third grade.
You should.
Can't happen. They'd be offended. And then, let's not get into that.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. Let's move on to our one-hit wonder. You've had some time to think about what this sexual...
I'm going
to
eat this other gummy
ecstasy.
Bear. It's just sitting here, dude. Look, and it's like, look what it did.
It did. It got on my...
Eat half of it.
No, I'm not going to eat half of it right now. You got this.
I'm not eating the whole thing. I'll eat half of it.
Okay.
This is about to turn into a marathon.
I'm going to eat this other gummy bear. He did. It was good. It was orange. Did it taste like orange?
It tastes exactly like orange. It doesn't taste anything like orange. You know what it tastes like.
Okay. The sex song before, "Are You Ready for the Sex, Girls?" was a little song. Well, it was a good song. However, I think this was a one-hit wonder. And it came out in 1976, recorded in 1975.
This is the definition of one-hit wonder right here. Like, this is the one I've been waiting for. One like this, anyway.
One like this, yes. The band is the Starland Vocal Band with their hit number one hit song, which made it to number one in the U.S. Hot 100, Afternoon Delight. You know the song.
Hopefully you've lived the song.
Yes. So, can you play that on guitar?
God, I mean, I should. That's like the ultimate panty dropper, isn't it?
Yeah, do you want to try it real
Absolutely
quick?
Absolutely not.
No?
No, I don't want to. That's too great of a masterpiece of a song for me to butcher right now. But we'll do some AC/DC, though.
Okay.
On the flamenco guitar.
So this song was written by Bill Danoff. He's a songwriter,
Couldn't have a better name. Last name Danoff. For the writer of this song.
Yes, Danoff. This guy also wrote a ton of hits for John Denver. So
John Denver's full of shit man.
but yeah, Starland Vocal Band, dude. This is a band that really just had this one song.
They're a vocal group.
But they've had 5 albums. Their first album was Starland Vocal Band, the self-titled. They were number 20 on the chart. A year later, Rearview Mirror. A year later, Late Night Radio. 2 years later, 4x4. And then that same year, they released their Christmas album, At Home.
Yada, yada, yada. Let's just talk about what matters. What is this song about?
Afternoon Delight.
Right? Skyrockets in flight. What is a skyrocket?
It's a lot. It's very sexually suggestive.
Is it, though?
Is it? Yes.
I don't know. Like, I think it's just about a kid, like, outside flying his kite. Right? And it's like tallywhackers hanging out.
So, I'll tell you what it said about this song from the band. The title came from the happy hour menu at Clyde's restaurant in Georgetown, Washington, D.C., where Bill Danoff was eating with fellow band member Margot Chapman, while his then-wife, Taffy Danoff, was undergoing surgery for cervical cancer. Danoff enjoyed writing the song and downplayed the somewhat controversial lyric, saying, "I didn't want to write an all-out sex song. I just wanted to write something that was fun and hinted at sex."
So basically what you just said is like this guy was cheating on his dying wife.
Yes.
That's what and he got the song name off of a menu at a happy hour.
Yes.
But he didn't want to write a song about banging.
Nope. Well,
I don't. Okay.
No, he said he wanted to write something fun that hinted at sex, but when you listen to it,
I mean, there's no denying that song, right? It's got like Brown Sugar, right? Like that song is only about one or two things.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon to like. That's like grabbing pussy.
Can't. Ooh. Whoa, Trump.
Easy.
Whoa, buddy. Can't do that anymore.
My motto's always been, when it's right, it's right.
This is like, did Bill Cosby write this song?
Why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night when everything's a little clearer in the light of day and we know the night is always going to be there anyway? Thinking of you, working up an appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, this is...
this is lyrical genius. Like, this is one of those songs where, like, if you... Let's say, like... The version of this song is like the most PC version of it you could get at the time, right?
Right.
If you gave that to like a rapper now, right, and said, hey, put this into layman's terms for us, right? You couldn't have that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just couldn't have. What a great song, though.
Yeah. It's.
That's like the song where, like, as a musician, you kind of. Or a songwriter, like you would wish you could write, because it's all, I mean, if you do the right innuendos and like, hey, it flows really good, you know?
Right.
Like, that's brilliant. I mean, it's a goofy fucking hokey, it's not supposed to be anything other than like a goofball song, right?
So is this song about jerking off or is this song about fucking?
Dude, this song, whatever. It's about getting off. However you gotta do it, dude.
Okay. All
right. Like, what are they, Danny McBride, right? Rosie Palman or Five Sisters, right?
Yes.
dropping loads like a fucking dump truck, dude. Like,
blowing loads everywhere.
Skyrocket is like a state of mind, right?
It is.
Like, you might. So, what if you're like a eunuch or like you're celibate, right? You can still have a skyrocket.
Yeah.
Fire one off. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Do you. Right?
Do you.
That's what this song's about, right? Feeling good. Like, do whatever makes you happy. I mean, it's a very positive song, if you know.
It's a happy song. It has a like a lovely happy-go-lucky melody.
I can only think of one way, like you could enjoy like not getting off, right? It's like if someone like was forcing you to do something, right? That ain't no fun. But anything other than that, that's a great release. You know what I mean? And a great workout.
There you go. This song was covered by the Circle Jerks in 1983.
No, that's not. Earlier, you said it was. Also covered by one of your favorite actresses of all time.
Who?
Kirsten Dunst.
No, not this song.
Yeah, that's what you said.
No, Turning Japanese.
Oh. Turning Japanese. Oh, shit. That was good. That was... You didn't even have no gummy bear.
I did not. My God. So,
that
no,
was good, dude.
That was good, wasn't it?
That was excellent.
So, but... The Circle Jerks did it on their album called Golden Shower of Hits, which even is another sexual thing.
That's R. Kelly.
That is R. Kelly,
right?
For sure.
That's probably his favorite album.
But at the 19th Grammy Awards in 1977, Afternoon Delight received three nominations. It won Grammy Award for Best Arrangement and Voices, which is kind of cool.
I wish there was, like, we could interview or talk to, like, people... that were huge in the music business at that time, right? So like 1973, like we could say, hey, like Jimmy Page, what do you think about that song? I bet he would say he loves it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, who doesn't like that song?
Yeah, when it's songs, you know the song. It's happy. There's no you're never sad listening to that song. It's like listening to the banjo.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
It's like, this song is happy.
Yeah.
It's been in tons of shit. It was in Good Will Hunting. They sang it in Good Will Hunting, actually.
Right. I forgot about that.
They sang it. It's in Boogie Nights. It's in Lost, The Rules of Attraction, The Simpsons, Cocktail, Arrested Development, where they sing it. It's in South Park, The Rod and Burgundy. They
Isn't
sing
it also in... It's not in Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-mm. It seems like that should be...
Wait, is it?
I feel like it like should
it might be.
I feel like it should be in there, though.
skyrocket. But yes, but if you remember Good Will Hunting, Matt Damon does it during one of the therapy sessions.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
What was that? They were called FAG, right? The Studio Actors Guild and
Team FAG, Film Actors Guild.
Film Actors Guild.
Called FAG and... and Alec Baldwin was the president.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
See, dude, that's what you needed that for Yoko earlier, dude.
Yes. So in the creators of South Park made a marionette puppet movie called Team America, and I highly recommend it. But Matt Damon's in it, and the only lines he has is saying his own name in a retarded voice, going, "Matt,
dude,
Damon.
That ain't a retarded voice. That's him. That's not even a voice actor or a puppet.
No, that's not him. I'm kidding. Several of the." They had like one of each of the voice actors do that. So it's just not one person. But in the movie, so the Screen Actors Guild is the Film Actors Guild. And they just, instead of SAG, it says FAG.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so, yeah, that's what a great I was saying. Joke.
Yeah. Well, because they put him out there on the podium and then it says it on the podium.
It's so like, weird.
It's the acronym is there.
Mm. I forgot about this. This song, Afternoon Delight, was the song in a 2014 TV commercial for Taco Bell.
Yeah, were they selling pink tacos too?
It's so good,
right? Come to Taco Bell. Skyrockets in flight. Have a pink taco tonight.
Also, when this song came out, it was so popular back in 1976. It was featured as the theme song for CBS's All Day Bicentennial coverage, hosted by Dan Rather.
Oh, of course it was, dude. Fucking Dan Rather, dude.
But. Okay, so with this one-hit wonder, they hit number one. What happened to them after?
They fucking skyrocketed from there, man. They got off. They were done. You're that band. You're that get-off band.
It's really weird Afternoon Delight.
There's nothing weird about that song. Like, how did you get here?
So after the Starland, after they made that song. They were so popular, they were asked to host a variety show, which they did on CBS, but it only went for 6 weeks. David Letterman was a writer and regular on that show.
Well, I mean, dude, that song, again, transcends everyone.
So that song was released in 1976. The band broke up in 1981 because they were unable to match their previous success.
How do you do that?
Like Danoff and Nevert, who were married, Taffy, they divorced shortly after the band broke up. Yeah. And they each went to do a solo career. Interestingly enough.
Not surprising. I mean, par for the course on something like that.
Would you think, like, with a song like that, wouldn't you just start making songs like that? Like that's your kitsch now. It's like lightning in a bottle, can't do it twice?
Can't do it, man. Like, because to have that sort of, like, natural... Like, that song, even when you listen to it, like, there's songs you can hear that they just even sound natural.
Okay.
Right? Like, that's one of them. Like, that song is... It just sounds like... That's exactly perfect.
Yeah.
Like, the meaning of it, the lyrics of it, the music, like, it all fits. Like, it's all perfect. So to do that multiple times is fucking impossible. I mean, especially on that subject matter.
Yeah.
Like, how else can you say it and be that creative? Because skyrocket, right? It's like...
Yeah.
Where does it go, right?
Up into your face.
Could.
Or tits.
Sock, whatever, dude. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
But you gotta... It's very unfortunate that...
Up to the dealer, ultimately.
This song... launched them to superstar, and they even got their own variety show. I mean, they were on TV.
Everyone had a fucking variety show.
But they had their own show because of this one song, and then, like, literally a couple years after, they had to break up because nothing was happening. They got divorced.
That's a one-hit wonder, though. You signed up for it. Like, you signed up for the turmoil and heartache that a song like Zombie is going to give
you,
right?
Do you think they're still making from that song today?
Well, since the fucking Anchorman thing came out?
Yeah.
Probably not that much, because Spotify, dude.
It's always down to Spotify.
Well, okay, like, you're gonna run out and buy that? You just go online and listen to it.
Okay, so do you think people should pay whatever?
Yeah, if they want to hear it, yeah, they should have to fucking pay to hear that.
Okay,
shouldn't have to pay to have skyrockets though.
No,
pay for the song, then it comes with it. That's the bonus of purchasing it. This song will get you laid.
The Starland Vocal Band, SVB.
What did they look like? Like, I imagine him wearing, like, all white, like, Bee Gees-type 70s, like, romper-type things. Nothing remotely close. Dude, the one dude, he looks like Bob Saget, like,
with, bro. With glasses and yeah. Shit. Chicks are hot, but yeah. Yeah, there you go. Starland Vocal Band. Your one-hit wonder of the week.
Are they dead?
I don't think so.
We should see if they're playing. Go see them.
Yeah.
Like I bet, do you think they play that song like five different ways live?
I'm sure that's what they end on for sure.
You think so, huh?
I'm looking. Bill Danoff is age 72.
Oh, they ain't touring.
He, oh my God. Albums, the last album he put out was in 2007. So no, I don't think he's really doing anything right now.
What a fucking masterpiece, man.
And then Taffy, which was his wife, she is 73. And the last thing she really did, she hadn't done shit at all besides that band. She lives in Florida.
Hard to top that.
Now. Go figure. So yeah, interesting. I don't think you'll see them unless there's like some form of a reunion.
Or if you watch like, I bet they're on some Bandstand show on YouTube. Right?
Not like now.
A soundstage. No, not current, but like them miming the song.
Right? Oh yeah, for sure. Well, there you go.
You think AC/DC ever fucking mimed?
No.
Music videos they did. They probably had to.
I'm trying to think of all their music videos. Most of the shit I've seen is live. This, dude? Yes, I'm ready for AC/DC. Okay. The main event.
We're going to talk about AC/DC.
Yeah, main event, AC/DC, holy God. We were talking about 80s Bowie, 80s Rolling Stones. This band was formed in 1973, and until today, to this day, they're still releasing albums, and they sound just like they did back then. They did not cave into 1980s pressure to redo their shit. They have always been singing about fucking, fighting, drinking, drugs.
They've been
boners.
They bent a little bit in the 80s.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did. Like Fly on the Wall.
That's still hardcore shit.
Well, don't get ahead of yourself.
So, AC/DC, popular belief, no, they're not American. They are Australian, perhaps the best Australian band.
That's actually not true either. They are not from Australia.
They were formed in Sydney, though.
Where are they from, though?
I will have to look.
Look it up, dude.
Where were they from? You tell me.
I think they're from Ireland or Scotland.
Okay.
Look it up real quick before we go any further.
Okay, so Angus Young is from Australia. Let's see. Yes. Oh, well, he was born in Scotland.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Chris Slade, South Wales.
Yeah, they all kind of like somehow ended up in Australia and crossed paths with each other. But fucking, come on with it, dude. Let's just get, we don't need no more facts about them. Rock and roll is rock and roll.
Rock and roll is rock and roll. They were formed in 1973 by brothers Malcolm and Angus Young. Whoever names their kid Angus is fantastic. They basically, people say they are a rock and roll band, nothing more, nothing less. I might agree with that. I mean, they're not political. They're not anything like that. They're not like these political, oh shit, I almost lost them. I got too excited.
Easy, R. Kelly. that mic's going to pee on you.
Yes, it is. So their first album they made. Well, first off, you have to know who AC/DC was. It consisted of the Young Brothers and a guy named Bon Scott, who unfortunately died at the age of 33. He lived past the 27 movement, but he died at 33.
Not really a 27 movement if you stop.
Yeah,
at
that's
27,
true.
Right? Like, yes. Kind of capped out.
Right. But Bon Scott was like the guy in this band. He was like the crazy frontman lead singer, if you've ever heard.
The real deal, dude. Like, Bon Scott was, you know, Freddie Mercury level, right? Performer.
Yes.
Like, that dude was meant to do that.
He was the frontman for AC/DC. He was into tons of drugs and alcohol.
Dude, they were a rock and roll band, man. Of course they were. Like, they all were into that. Really, Angus is the only one that wasn't like a partier.
True.
Like, but see, the thing is, though, AC/DC figured out real quick that, like, hey, just because we're, like, singing about, like, having a good time and doing all that, right? Like, we just need to exude that good time to the audience, right? Like, they don't want to give a fuck. They don't care about our personal problems. They don't write ballads, you know what I mean? These are songs designed to make you fucking turn your brain off and just have a great fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, get in touch with, like, who you are as a person, right?
Right.
Like, there's nothing standoffish about any fucking AC/DC song. Granted, I'm sure some women might think that, like, oh, those lyrics are kind of, you know, demeaning to women and blah, blah, blah. But it's...
No, it's not.
Dude, AC/DC, they probably got more female fans than they do male fans.
Yeah, it's
dude.
Appreciating the woman.
Yeah.
Appreciating, like, the people.
They're just appreciating being a good person, man. Like, all that music that you hear, like, all the AC/DC songs, right? They're all, like, real uplifting fucking, like, rock and roll songs.
Yeah.
Like, they just make you feel...
About making love.
Great.
Yeah. Or fighting, not with...
Oh, man, yeah. Dirty Deeds, Done Dirt Cheap, dude. They're not really advocating violence or anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're like a fucking... They're like watching fucking Pulp Fiction, right?
Right.
Like, that gets your eye... Like, Pulp Fiction, you watch that movie and you're like, damn, you just had, like, an orgasm of the eye, right?
Right.
Like, that's just a visually stunning kind of movie, right?
Yes.
You listen to AC/DC, your ears are getting off.
Yes.
Like, there's fucking Angus... Just ripping guitar solos, right?
Yes.
Bond screaming his fucking balls off. Malcolm, which is like kind of the sleeper in that band, right? Like the rhythm guitar player.
Right.
They're like Chuck Berry on steroids, man. Like they're just fucking having a great time. And then the drums, like AC/DC is a band, like when you want to get into like learning maybe an instrument or something, that's the best band to play along to. Because if you just want to play bass and drums... It's the most basic. Like, they're not really doing a bunch, but those songs are just timeless, man. Like,
can you play some?
I don't want to play guitar right now.
Oh, come on now. You said so. Yes.
Actually, I ate that other gummy bear, man.
You can do it.
I can't do it.
You can't
do it? Not on that guitar.
But you like guitars. What about this guitar?
Nah, not touching one. That ship has sailed.
That ship is...
See, but you like the Brian Johnson era more than Bon Scott, dude.
Not really, because when
your record collection seems to say otherwise.
What are you talking about? Well, Bon Scott only had a couple albums.
Dude, Bon Scott was on, like, probably 7 AC/DC albums.
Oh, we're going to look that up.
Yeah,
right
look
now.
It up.
Okay, studio albums. High Voltage, TNT,
Power
Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap,
okay. Yeah,
Let There Be Rock, Powerage, Highway to Hell.
That's
okay.
6.
Okay, that's 6. Back in Black was his first one. Which ones do I have?
You have Back in Black, Black Ice.
Okay.
And the live album, which this is good. This is where they have the big...
I have more than that. I have High Voltage in there.
No, well, I thought you were saying which Brian Johnson.
No, which all of them.
Yeah, no, you got 3 and 3.
Okay,
That's
3 and 3. Okay, there you go. Which is fine.
See, this is... This gatefold in here, they had this big inflatable, the character of Rosie. This is Rosie, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, I remember people got really upset about this, because the Stones did the same thing. Like, on some girls, they had that big inflatable naked chick.
Yes.
But whatever, man. Like, you go to a rock show to see, like,
tits,
dude. It's like Aerosmith, right?
Yeah.
Part of it.
It's part of
rock and roll.
I totally agree. Movie. The
never going to be another band like AC/DC again.
No, there's not. And so let's, like, with High Voltage, they came to the scene with High Voltage, and that, I mean, it has them. That's their first album, and it has the song "She's Got Balls" on it, which is fantastic. And "Baby, Please Don't Go." It's that. Told the world about...
They told you what they were all about right out of the gate.
Correct.
Dude.
And then they got into TNT, which was their chart-topping hits. It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll. TNT.
Jack Black,
yeah.
Dude.
And they redid School Days by Chuck Berry, which was fantastic as well, which is Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll.
All they did, like all AC/DC did, was take Chuck Berry songs... And just fucking... Chuck Berry probably played his amp on like 6, right?
Yes.
6 or 7. AC/DC went, well, fuck, they go to 10.
Yeah.
Bam.
Bam.
There you go.
Do a little distortion and that's it.
No distortion. That's the beauty of AC/DC, right? Like, there's zero distortion on those guitars.
You're
just loud, dude. Like, they're fucking...
And I want to say, you probably, with Bon Scott being in the band, even in It's a Long Way to the Top, if you want to rock and roll, that is actually Bon Scott playing the bagpipes.
Dude, every time Bon Scott sang, he was playing the bagpipes. Dude. Like, he had that. His voice was an instrument.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was the... Like, I think if you would have had... If the roles would have been reversed, right? Like, if Brian Johnson would have been first, they probably wouldn't have made it that far. Because Brian Johnson doesn't really sing, like, the... You know, the lyrics kind of changed.
No, well, Brian Johnson, I think, voice could sound a little bit like Bon Scott. However, it didn't have the tenacity or, like, the grit that Bon Scott had.
So when AC/DC got Axl in the band, right? To finish, Axl sounds like Bon Scott.
Correct.
So, like, when the news came out that, like, oh, Brian Johnson has left AC/DC and they're getting Axl to replace him, I was like, dude, that's a perfect fit.
Because he does have the high voice. He can hit the high notes.
Yeah, he's got that fucking weird range, man.
And unlike Brian Johnson, who just, like, had a good time on stage and it was fun and went long, Axl and Bon Scott could probably, you know, in real life be, like, their egos. Oh, like, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, dude, they're, I mean, and Brian Johnson is great. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Is.
But there's a, you know, when you think of, like, AC/DC, right? And as you were talking, like, you start at, like, High Voltage and you go all the way up to Highway to Hell, right?
Right.
If you listen on those songs, like, all of the lyrical content is kind of the same, right?
Right.
Fast forward to Back in Black, right?
Right.
Less sexual, right?
Yes.
They kind of just, it wasn't as, like, you were talking about Skyrockets, right?
Yes.
Afternoon Delight, right? They kind of, like, went in a different formula mode, you know what I mean? It became a little more, like, prepackaged a little bit. They lost their edge somewhat. Like, they're not as, like, raw and, like, hungry sounding as they are on, like, Powerage, right? Which is, like, to me, like, their best fucking album.
Yeah.
But they're still great. I mean, even the 80s albums that I don't really much care for, like Flick of the Switch and, you know, Fly on the Wall, like, they're not horrible, but they're not fucking, you know, Let There Be Rock. Like, the AC/DC, to me, kind of stopped being AC/DC, like, when Bond died. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he was the fucking attitude. Like, you couldn't have had a better frontman for that band.
No.
Like, he was the only person that worked. And then when Brian came into the band, it's like, it's almost like it became, they were like a band for, like, suits.
It was like, it became, well, you know, not corporate, but they became more mainstream because they hadn't had a hit. AC/DC hadn't had a hit much like until Back in Black, when it was, you know, all the songs we really know right now that are sung, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was for the masses, and that's great, but it also still invoked the same kind of theme and passion, I think, from Bon Scott days.
Yeah, it still had that swagger.
Yeah.
But when the vocal came in, though, like,
right,
it wasn't, it was a little, Brian Johnson is, like, more of a safer singer, you
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes.
With Bon, like, that guy sounds like someone just fucking pulled the pin on a grenade.
Yes.
And, like, at any second, he's just gonna fucking blow up, dude.
Right.
Like, he had that urgency, like, kind of in his voice, you know, and it's very dangerous sounding, you know, like.
Yeah, and even in that album, TNT, you have The Jack, which is a great song as well.
Yeah, I mean what's that song about?
We all know.
And again, that song right there actually is very similar to Afternoon Delight.
Right.
In the fact that in the live version, like on this record you have, Brian Johnson changes it, you know, to like, she told me she was a virgin, blah, blah, blah. On the studio version of it, Bon, all the lyrics are about playing, it's like playing a hand of cards.
Yeah.
Right. She told me she wasn't a full house or something. Like, it's very, I don't know, you have to go back and listen to it. But when you listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh, cool, he's talking about this without actually talking about it.
Yeah.
Without saying it, you know what I mean?
So how long after Bon Scott died did they replace him with, and how did that happen?
Like, how many years went by?
Well, and how did that happen? Did they want to go on? Because some people just don't go on without their lead singer.
Well, they're a weird band to even talk about on this song because they actually became more successful after Bon.
Correct.
So not most bands, I would say probably all bands. I can't really think of another band that ever replaced a core central member,
yes,
right? Your main dude.
Yeah.
And then became
bigger.
More successful.
Well, yeah, in like a crazy way, too.
But I bet, like, I don't know. I think maybe probably like 3 or 4 years went by between Bon and Brian coming into the band.
Yeah.
And I think that they knew, they had to have known each other, because I think he is also from Scotland.
Brian Johnson?
Yeah, I don't think he's Australian.
Brian Johnson is, how old is he now? He is 70 years old, and he was born in England.
England, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think somehow they knew each other from, like, they had encountered each other before. Like, I think he was in another band, maybe, that they liked.
Following Bon Scott's death, the remaining members of the band briefly considered quitting before concluding that Scott would have wanted AC/DC to continue. Various candidates were considered for his successor, including ex-Backstreet Crawler vocalist Terry Slesser and Slade's Noddy Holder, who declined before selecting Johnson.
They also had auditioned this guy from a band called Cactus, an American band, which, yeah, if you're fucking into barn burning, like, rock and roll music, dude, yeah, Cactus was like, they should have been like Led Zeppelin. That band was incredible, and they had a couple of guys from Vanilla Fudge, went to play with Jeff Beck, also Beck, Berger, yeah, and Apice. That was the rhythm section of that band, dude. Cactus was killer. Yeah, they tried out a guy named Rusty Day, and he told him no.
It's interesting. I'm going to read you this. AC/DC guitarist Angus Young later recalled, "I remember the first time I had ever heard Brian Johnson's name was from Bon. Bon had mentioned that he had been in England once touring with a band, that he had mentioned that Brian had been in a band called Geordie.
G-E-O-R-D-I-E, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's
and
right.
And Bon had said Brian Johnson had a great rock and roll singer and the style of Little Richard. And that was Bon's big idol, was Little Richard. And I think when he saw Brian at the time, to Bon, it was, well, he's a guy that knows what rock and roll is all about. He mentioned that to the rest of the band in Australia. And I guess they called him, inviting him to London to audition as the new vocalist for AC/DC. As a big AC/DC fan, he was happy to oblige. Malcolm remembers the day we were all sitting there going, where's this guy Brian? He should have been here an hour ago. On him, he's downstairs playing pool with the roadies. So we thought, well, at least he plays pool. And then they hired him.
Man, how? I mean, like, yeah.
Which is so funny.
Well, it's great. I mean, that's rock and roll, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't have. It's kind of like.
He shows up, but he doesn't go to the audition. He just plays pools with the roadies.
Well, again, if they're, you know, if Angus is, if they collectively came together and as a band, they said Bon would have wanted us to continue. And,
yeah.
And Bon had kind of already inadvertently set up the, well, hey, in case something happens to me, there's this guy in this band in England.
Yeah.
Like, he did the work for him, if you think about it. He kind of laid the foundation for it to happen. They didn't fucking meet Brian. It said Bon met him.
Yeah.
See, that's probably a testament to fucking Bon's character, I bet. Because you knew Bon Scott wasn't going to make it to 40, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he just wasn't, you could even hear it in his voice, man. Like, he was like a street kid, you know what I mean? Like a real...
He was planning ahead, basically.
Well, he was... It's a fucking renegade, dude. Like,
yep. Yes, he was.
A true rocker, man. Like, didn't play dress up to play rock and roll and whatnot, dude. Like, he just did it. Like, that's all he knew how to do. I knew he was a fucking massive Little Richard fan.
Yeah.
That's who started rock and roll, man.
Dude, Little Richard?
Yeah. Little Richard and Chuck Berry.
It's very Richard, because I always compare Little Richard and Prince together, because they both sing about Jesus and kind of like fun pussy type
androgynous
shit. Yeah. Like sex stuff, yeah. Even though Little Richard doesn't swing the
he
girl
goes,
way.
He goes, yeah, one way, dude.
Yes.
Well, he probably, maybe he both did ways. For a little bit, yeah.
But yeah, no, Little Richard was, yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's good shit. So you said earlier, so in 1988... AC/DC released an album called Blow Up Your Video.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what do you think about that album?
That's like, what I was saying.
Heat Seeker, That's the Way I Want to Rock and Roll. Do you think?
They never really did change their formula so much, like the way they wrote.
Yeah.
But, like, their production, they tried a couple of different things that were, like, they just didn't stick through it. It's kind of like we were saying with Kiss, right? Instead of, like, trying to evolve and keep up with this bullshit fad that was going on.
Yeah.
They would have just stuck through it, you know, and just kept wearing denim.
Right.
Right? Like, plow through, lose a couple of fans for 4 or 5 years, and then bam, they come back again in hordes, right?
Yes.
But I mean, hell, they got like what, 16 albums or some shit?
They have, yeah, they have tons.
And they're all about fucking, dude.
Fucking fighting boners and good balls. Shit. In 1990, they had the Razor's Edge album.
Do you remember the fucking...
Which had Thunderstruck on it.
Well, Last Action Hero soundtrack, right?
Yeah.
Remember that one? Big Gun?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great song. It's a great soundtrack.
That is.
That movie. I think all those songs were written specifically for that movie.
You think so?
I believe I'm correct.
Hmm.
Look it up. Because okay. They're on it, dude. And that's a great song. That's one of my favorite AC/DC songs. Big Gun. Big Gun.
Last Action Hero.
Alice in Chains is on there. Like, fucking... That's a killer.
Soundtrack. Big Gun. AC/DC. What the Hell Have I? Alice in Chains. Angry Again. Megadeth.
Megadeth, yeah, dude.
Real World. Queensryche.
But were those songs written Def just Leopard for that movie?
All right, I'm looking. Big Gun was... It was released as a single in 1993 and can be heard on the soundtrack of the movie.
Yeah, it was only on that soundtrack.
Which is great. I'm looking up Alice in Chains, What the Hell Have I? Yes, that is true. Yep. That is okay. That would be a great single to find. Yeah, the Megadeth, Def Leppard, Anthrax, Aerosmith, Cypress Hill, Fishbone, Tesla, and Buckethead.
Yeah. What's this? It's a little something for everyone.
That's probably the best soundtrack ever.
Nah. It's up there, though. It's... Also a great movie.
That is a great movie. It's been a while since I've seen that. Yeah, Ball Breaker album by AC/DC was 95. Bonfire was 97.
That's Bonfire is like a collection of Bon Scott.
Correct.
Stuff.
Yes.
So
and then
not a studio album.
And then when the turn of the century came, Stiff Upper Lip, which everybody pretty much loved, I
great,
think.
Great album. Like, yep. That's a kind of a return to form
yep.
album for him.
And then in 2008, which I love, Black Ice, which with the hit song Rock and Roll Train.
Yep, great.
Big Jack, Anything Goes. War Machine, Spoiling for a Fight. It's all good.
War Machine was on the fucking Iron Man.
Yes, it
soundtrack.
Was. Yes, it was. And 2009, they had Black Tracks, which I believe was like previous.
I wonder what their fascination is with black.
Iron Man 2 soundtrack, which they did. Which right. Iron Man 2 soundtrack was all...
Well, that's with War Machine.
Well, it was... It's all...
AC/DC.
All AC/DC.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they, War Machine is also... They played like the character War Machine.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
See? Who's a black character, right?
Correct.
And then they have Back in Black.
Yep.
Black Ice. Like, yep. I wonder why the...
I don't know.
It's interesting.
And then their most recent album
I know
was...
why they sing about the other things they sing about.
Well, of course.
Tuna sandwiches. And... right?
Yes. And their most recent album was 4 years ago, 2014, Rocker Bus, which I don't think we'll be seeing any new albums from them unless it's a completely different lineup.
All right, so check this out. I read this weird, not a conspiracy thing, but news tidbit that they're supposed to be doing an album with Axl.
What?
Yeah, which I would want to hear it because I'm a fan. I love Guns N' Roses.
Okay. Following the band's final show with Brian Johnson, Axl Rose would be joining the band full time and that he and Angus would continue AC/DC with different musicians. Young's friend... Angry Anderson said in March 2018 interview that Young intended to make a new album with Rose.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, that's, to me, Axl would have been a better replace. Like, imagine this, right? What if Axl would have replaced Bon?
He did.
On Back in Black.
Oh, well, there would be no...
Yeah, but think about how crazy would that have been?
They would have literally just went from one crazy to the other crazy
yeah.
without, and they probably wouldn't have gotten the success they would have.
Oh,
I don't
no
think.
Way, dude. Oh, man. To go, because Axl Rose is like a direct line of Bon Scott.
Yes.
I mean, even down to the shitty tattoos, right?
Yes.
Like, it's the same. This guy is a rocker.
Yes.
He's not trying to be anything else. He's fucking rock and roll, dude. Same attitude on stage, same kind of way they sang, although, you know, Axl's got a much wider range.
Right.
But that would have been, I mean, that's one of those great what ifs, right? Yeah, I mean, I'd much rather would have had Brian Johnson, AC/DC, and Guns N' Roses.
Yes.
But if you could have just acted like Guns N' Roses wouldn't have happened, and they would have went straight from Bon to Axl. Like, what would that have been like? You know what I mean?
Do you think you would have gotten Guns N' Roses songs with AC/DC?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I bet that when the next... If and when AC/DC does an album with Axl... Because Guns N' Roses for years has always covered AC/DC songs. Like, they've always done, like, Whole Lotta Rosie. They do quite a few of them. Because they're a fucking rock band. I mean...
Right.
And they're peers, you know? They're fans of each other and also friends. But I guarantee you that if they do an album with Axl, AC/DC, and they tour live, they would almost have to do a Guns N' Roses song.
No.
Like, Axl is that kind of personality, although he is, I mean, he's very been very vocal about, like, his favorite bands have always been Elton John and AC/DC.
Well, let's get to this. With Axl Rose being the new guy, Axl Rose really hasn't done really much of anything album-wise. He's done maybe 3 or 4 albums only with Guns N' Roses. Appetite for Destruction, which is the best one. Guns N' Roses Lies, Use Your Illusion, The Spaghetti Incident, and Chinese Democracy, which was 10 years ago. Other than that, he's just been doing his shit. There's no... So it'd be interesting to see, like, 10 to 12 years later, him actually get in on an AC/DC album and actually have creative shit going.
My only complaint about them doing an album with Axl is that Malcolm is dead.
Correct.
He's the sound. Bon Scott and Malcolm were AC/DC.
But Angus is like the poster child.
Correct. But when it comes to the sonic, the sound, yes. if you removed Angus's guitar, right? Yeah. Malcolm is AC/DC.
Right.
Like, Angus is just like the icing on top, right?
Yes.
Like, Malcolm is the fucking foundation of which he's the songwriter.
Yes.
So if he was alive and him and Axl did an album together, perfect. But Angus isn't really much of a songwriter. He didn't really participate in songwriting. He's fucking What Key Are We In? And he just plays guitar on it.
Well, because, I mean, okay, so with Brian Johnson, he was just having a good time on stage. With Angus, he's just out of control. But then you had his brother. He was like the life force, the backbone.
Yeah, and Malcolm never moved.
Yeah, like he just stood there. And meanwhile, you have Angus running around crazy, taking off his clothes, and just and Brian Johnson just walking from side to side, nonchalant, moving his hands, and just getting into it.
Now you got Axl up there eating sandwiches and falling down, right?
Yes.
Fucking
how many sandwiches?
20 costume changes during a set, right?
Yes.
Like, he's out of control, but I love him, man. I love Axl Rose, like. But what you were saying, though, like, the reason he hasn't done so much since Use Your Illusion, right? Think about the songs that are on those albums, right?
Right.
November Rain. Like, what's a bigger, like, that's Queen territory.
Yes.
That's Elton John, dude. November Rain is an Elton John song.
Okay.
Think about it.
No, I agree. But you also have Paradise City.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he has... Almost every song that Axl Rose has ever written up to Chinese Democracy, right? Every song he's participated in writing is a fucking incredible song.
Yeah, it's a hit that lives on.
Yeah.
That you still hear today.
Off of 3 records.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The Stones have how many?
30.
Over 20, yeah. Right? AC/DC, what? 15, 16, yes. Right? Chinese Democracy is dog shit, right?
Right.
Like, there's some moments on it, but it's not Guns N' Roses.
Yes.
You know, so that's the same problem I think they would get into with, like, doing it if AC/DC did an album with Axl.
But, see, I don't know, because I think AC/DC literally has the formula, not like...
The guy that had the formula is dead, though, man. The songwriter. So Bon was the front man. Malcolm was the songwriter. Like, look up AC/DC songs.
No, I get that. So, okay, so let's say Angus and Axl are still together, and I guarantee you Brian Johnson will be involved somehow. Maybe
guest vocalist.
Well, even just like writing or something. I don't know. But who would you want to replace now? Like,
well, they have something... So who would replace Malcolm?
Yeah.
They have, so they're his cousin, who looks just like him, is the guitar.
Stevie Young and Chris Sladen?
What?
Those are the current members of AC/DC.
That's the bass player. The other bass player and the bass player and the drummer. The other guitar player was like
Stevie Young is Angus's the other cousin, right? Yeah,
cousin. I think. Yes. Yeah, and he looks just like him.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying though. It's just because you have a guy in the band, like the person who wrote the music for AC/DC is dead.
Right.
Died a year ago.
Yes.
So it's I don't know, man. Like
because Phil Rudd was the drummer, and is that the guy that
he's the one who got they booted him out because he like put a hit on somebody.
Correct, and he was replaced by Chris Slade.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I think Cliff Williams still plays bass with him.
Cliff, he's 68 years old.
Yeah, but he don't.
But he retired though. It says he's retired.
All right. Yeah.
Completely.
See, so it's not even. So you have four of your original members are gone.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. I mean, is it AC/DC at that point? It's Angus with Axel. That's what they should call it.
It depends. I guarantee you Angus and at least Stevie, and if Brian Johnson has any say whatsoever, they're going to keep that same sound and singing about
the
same shit.
They're definitely not going to change their sound, but it's kind of catch 22, right? Like, do you want to hear it? Yeah. Is it going to be good? Eh.
Rock and Roll Train and Rock or Bust are fantastic songs that sound just like the old shit.
That's Malcolm Young. I'm telling you, Malcolm is the key ingredient to AC/DC. He's the songwriter. He wrote all those guitar riffs. Angus didn't write those.
Okay.
Like Angus wrote the intro to Thunderstruck, right?
But yeah.
Angus is just like I said, man. He's like the fucking A1 sauce on the great steak.
No, I agree. He's the cake topper.
Yeah,
because that's what you see.
He's not, but
yeah.
Malcolm is the guy. Like Malcolm,
he's the guy behind the guy.
Malcolm was AC/DC.
No, yes,
no two ways around it. He's like the Freddie Mercury to Queen.
Like Freddie Mercury, he was complete opposite. He was never up front. He was just always in the back, kept his mouth shut, usually.
Malcolm? He handled all the business for the band.
Yeah.
Like, he was in charge of, like, the, you know, he was their manager, like, early on.
Yeah.
Like, he was the fucking workhorse of the band.
No, yeah, I agree. It's,
How many albums have they sold total? Like, how many did Back in Black sell? Like, 150 million?
Let's look.
I bet it's something crazy like that.
Back in Black sold, that was 1980, the year before I was born. Let's see here. I'm trying to look here. It has sold an estimated 50 million copies worldwide.
That's just in America.
That says worldwide.
Yeah, more than that, though.
You think so?
Dude, that everybody knows that fucking record.
Yeah, true. It's at 50 million.
Well, that's commendable. What, 50 million? Yeah, whatever.
I'm trying to look at all their albums. But yeah, they're probably one. AC/DC has sold over more than 200 million records worldwide, including 71.5 million in the US.
Sorry, so they sold 50 million of Back in Black.
Out of everything. AC/DC has sold over 200 million records. This makes them the 10th highest selling artist in the United States and the 14th best selling artist worldwide.
Of all time.
Yes, Back in Black sold an estimated 50 million units worldwide. So I'm going to go to the biggest 14.
Don't do it. It's going to be depressing.
I'm going to tell you. Please. 250 million or more, Beatles.
Are you going in order from number one?
Number one. Beatles.
You should go the other way.
Okay.
Because then it's just going to progressively get worse. This way we know we'll end good.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I told you, the list is horrible, I bet, isn't it?
Oh, so I'm trying to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. I'll do the top 20.
No, go from AC/DC back, 14 back.
14 back? Yeah, are you sure?
Why would we want to?
Yeah. I'm going to do 15 because under AC/DC is Rolling Stones.
Yeah, so now you see where we're headed.
So AC/DC. Above AC/DC, Whitney Houston.
Yep, here we go. The fucking...
Above that, Celine Dion.
The lashing continues.
Above that, Queen. Above that, unfortunately, is Mariah Carey.
Yeah, this is going to go to shit, dude.
Above that, unfortunately, Eminem. Above that, unfortunately, Rihanna. Ugh.
I told you not to do this.
And then the top ones, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Elton John, Madonna, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, Beatles.
Post Malone.
That's not on there.
It's going to happen.
So it's, yeah, Rihanna, really, guys?
Album streams, dude. That's why Spotify sucks right there.
You have converted me, sir.
Dude, you, that list did it for you. All you have to do is think, man. Like, they're a problem. Like, how Metallica should be on there, right?
Metallica is on there.
They're probably
in
top 20, I bet.
I'm looking. Hold on. Metallica. Yes, there they are. Right below Metallica is Bee Gees. Above Metallica is Bruce Springsteen, Kanye West, Ed Sheeran, Bruno Mars, Justin Bieber, Barbara Streisand, Frank Sinatra, Aerosmith, Phil Collins, Billy Joel, U2, Eagles, Garth Brooks, Taylor Swift, ABBA, and then Rolling Stones and AC/DC. So they're like top like
30.
It doesn't make sense.
It does,
is what
yes,
I'm
it
saying.
It does. Just go outside and talk to people. It makes total sense, dude. There's more idiots than there are people that have it together. Like, think of it this way, right? At some point, AC/DC is going to be like a dinosaur. People are not into, they're getting further and further away from rock and roll, like music like that. Like, they want their music to be made by like two French guys hitting buttons. Like, that wear helmets.
But it also says something.
Daft Punk, right?
AC/DC, out of all those people, AC/DC has never changed their sound, and they sing about boners, fucking, fighting, and drinking.
What else is there?
What else is there?
When I hear my rock and roll, dude, that's what I want to hear about. Having a good time, getting, like, whatever your sexual preference is, like, pursuing it to its utmost potential.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the chase, right? Like, that's the game.
I'm in. I'm with you.
Do people, unless you just enjoy walking around feeling bad, then they have things like Elliot Smith and Iron and Wine for you if you want to be sad. But, you know, there's a time and place for that kind of stuff. But AC/DC, dude, if you're having a bad day, fucking put on Highway to Hell, dude. Like,
yeah.
Your day just got a lot better.
I agree.
There's not a lot of people that can really have that effect on you, like a feeling-wise, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I guess people get excited about Madonna, but in this neighborhood they do.
I don't get it, but yes.
You live in Oak Lawn, dude. What's there to not get? You, I get it.
I get it.
I thought you meant my bad joke. My crude.
No, I liked your crude joke.
My whatever.
Oh, AC/DC.
Yeah, man. I mean, what else?
They're
like Motorhead, right? Like, Motorhead never changed their sound.
Yeah, Lemmy never changed. And Lemmy is one of the last remaining rock. He's not remaining anymore, but he was one of the last remaining rock stars that actually lived that life.
But any time that, like, you know, Lemmy did write other songs, like, he wrote Mama, I'm Coming Home that Ozzy did.
Yes.
Lemmy wrote that song. But Motorhead wasn't going to perform that song because that ain't in the fucking Motorhead dictionary.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not. It's Here Comes the Game, Here Comes the Pain.
That'd be like, Mama, I'm Coming in You.
Yes,
You know, something like that, dude. It would be, it's not, Motorhead, I mean.
Motorhead had a Christmas album, but it was awesome.
Yeah, it was probably 20 minutes long, because that's all the Christmas music you need, right?
Yeah, AC/DC is just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean.
They're just, they will be around, and I hope that
I wanted to see him with Axl, but I didn't get to.
So interestingly enough, the last time I saw, because I've seen him a couple of times, the last time I did see them was the second to last show or the last show Brian Johnson performed with them.
I actually saw them with Motorhead one time.
Really?
Motorhead opened for AC/DC.
That's badass.
I think it was at Reunion Arena.
See, I've only seen them at, you know, AAC here.
So. Yeah, I've saw them twice there. They're great. I mean, dude. Rock show, you know what I mean?
No, that's the epitome. So now we get stuff like Ghost and Iron Maiden, which are a new band and an older band that still rock out, but nothing like what you just said of
AC/DC. I mean, again, like, they don't need the show. You know, they don't need to blow. I mean, granted, they do blow stuff up and like have a big bell above the stage.
Yeah.
But the show gets started when, like, Angus is in his underwear, right?
Yeah.
Like, then it's like, cool, rock and roll. They don't need all the, you know, pyrotechnic going off every 20 seconds, people dressed up like ghouls.
And
I like that. I like that stuff, too. But AC/DC was a fucking... AC/DC is kind of like an energy.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just has that ability to, like, transport you somewhere that's, like, fun and good.
Yeah, I'm all there.
Yeah.
And I need more AC/DC albums.
Do you know about this, like, there's a Village People type cover band for AC/DC called Gay C/DC?
Really?
Look it up, dude.
Gay CDC?
Yeah, Gay CDC. I saw it on this blog that I read the other day. And they're like, they have these like flamboyant costumes.
Gay CDC, there it is.
Yeah, Gay CDC.
The gayest AC/DC cover band out there.
Yeah, that's what they call it. This is them talking about themselves.
Let There Be Cock.
Oh, they changed their song names? Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I'm in.
Yeah. What else did they change, dude?
I'm looking at... Oh, look at... I'm looking at these pictures. Look at this guy.
They're over the
Describe
top.
It. Describe it.
They're over the top costumes. Oh, that ain't good. It looks like someone that's going to like a My Little Pony convention.
So they have like the AC/DC font, but instead of AC, it's GA, and the GA is like rhinestone and pink.
Yeah,
and
rhinestone.
It looks like the guitar player is in a very like a 2-inch kilt skirt with rainbow socks pulled up to his knees. That's and like a leather vest.
He looks tough.
And there's boas. I mean, I'd be down for this. Gacy, if you want to come.
Yeah, there Jesus. You go.
So I guess it's like, yeah, they change. I'd see this.
You're looking at it. I mean, yeah, they're probably rocking, dude.
There you go. Gacy DC. Look them up.
I wonder if they're exploiting though, right?
Well,
like what if they're not, they better be gay, right?
Oh my God, if they're not.
That's what, you know what I'm saying though? It's like, can't do that.
Gay CD tribute band.
Are they American?
I don't know. They don't have like a website. They have a Facebook.
Fuck yeah, dude. Go to it.
Go to it.
I mean, why not? Like these guys are having a great, that's what AC/DC is all about, is Gay CDC. Having a good time. Like these guys aren't hurting anybody.
No.
They're getting people laid.
Yeah, there you go. Look
Where
at
does
this.
It say they're from?
I'm looking. Hold on. Gay CDC, founded by Chris Freeman, bass player from iconic queer punk band Pansy Division.
Pansy Division.
The idea for Gay CDC came from bouncing around names for more tribute bands with gay members.
Good for them.
They'd been playing with the Gay Gays, which was a gay tribute to the Go-Go's. But Gay CDC, it doesn't say where they're from.
The Gay Gays. That one just that fell in their lap, didn't it? Not, yes. Not much twisting to do to that one, is there?
No. That was funny.
The Gay Gays.
an all-gay tribute. Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
What does it mean, all gay?
I guess they're all gay. I don't know. Reverb Nation, Gay DC, Gay CDC.
Don't play it. I don't want to hear that.
Well, I'm just looking. Okay, so they're out of their next show is at Leo's Place, October 20th in Venice, California.
Of course it is.
I guess they're in California.
They're probably from California.
They played at Whiskey a Go Go. All right. Weird.
That'd be awesome if they were from like Alabama.
Gay CDC has no available songs at this time on Reverb. Can't. Yeah, I guess so. It's all live shit.
How could you?
Well, there you go. To end that, AC/DC. That, oh my God, I've seen them playing. It, oh my goodness, they're in dresses and all sorts of shit. They have the AC/DC lightning bolt, but for Gay CDC, they have the feather boa around
so
it.
I thought you were going to say it was like penises.
Gay CDC, that is a thing, and they look like they're making money. But either way, AC/DC is one of our favorite bands. Check out The Last Action Hero as well. And yeah, that marks our number 3 episode of The Unbalanced Note. We love it so far. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men. You'll find out other shows such as our horror podcast called My Bloody Podcast. And this one, The Unbalanced Note, as well as our wrestling one, Everything is Wrestling. So stay tuned. I'm Brian Kluger. And as always, Jacob Douglas is here. You can find him, you know, talking music.
On Instagram. That's about as far as I can venture out on the social media platform.
Yeah, look him up.
Scrum True Lessons.
There you go.
Scary out there.
It is scary out there. But thank you. Any parting words, sir? Say yes to everything.
Whole lot of Rosie.